Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, strangers of the internet. No one has heard my voice for a while, or so it seems. Maybe it just seems that way to me. Anyway, that song was Faded War by Josh Woodward. Welcome to A Team of Voices. I am your host, Crystal Hope, and tonight we're going to be talking about trials and tribulations. Hearing poems about the times where it just seems like you were so stressed out and everything seemed hectic and crazy and you didn't think you were going to get through it, but you actually did. So it definitely is going to be a very hopeful kind of night, I would think. Sorry, everyone. I'm just kind of out of it. I just worked a 9.5-hour shift. So let me see. Let me go ahead and grab Kay. I know that she's in the studio. Hi, Kay.
Hello. How are you?
Tired. How are you?
All righty. It's Friday.
And that's the way that I look at it, too. Normally Fridays is actually when I do get my day off, but I switched because I forgot that I had to do something tomorrow. So I sit there and switched, but then that left me without, like, going way past a week without having a day off. But I did it. I got through it. I'm alive. That has just been my life recently. I know I've been vacant from Poetic Slice of Life. I've been vacant from here. Like, all the podcasts, I have not called on any of them, but that is because I have been working 50-hour shifts, a week.
Wow.
And yeah, it's pretty bad. There's, nobody at my job right now. Everyone is quitting. So then the people, we get some new people, but they only can work part-time in the beginning. So then that leaves all the people that have been working there longer, leaving them with, over 50-hour shifts. So, it's crazy. I know. It is. It's crazy. So when I'm sitting there talking about, trials and tribulations, I'm about being stressed up. That's been my last, I'd say, probably more than a month. I'm going to say definitely, because it's been going on about a month or more that I've been doing this. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy. But, I miss doing a podcast so bad. So when I found out that I was going to, did Stephen really have to, oh, God. I just saw what Stephen put.
The trouble.
That's how I feel like it is at work. I feel like the tribbles are customers. That's the way this is. Oh, man. No, that's great. No, God, I went blank of where I was going. Stephen distracted me. Oh, well. No, it's just been a crazy, crazy month. No, what I'm saying is I missed doing podcasts, and I missed all of you guys. So when I found out that I was only going to be working to 10 Eastern, which is 9 where I am, so I was like, I'm going to jump on that as fast as I can and do a podcast. I want to do one so bad. So, yeah.
Awesome.
But, yeah. I know I'm talking everyone's head off. Let's go ahead and let's get into some poetry. I know you said, Kay, you can't stay too long, but I don't think I have any. Yeah, I don't think I have too many poems. I don't even know if we'll do a whole 2-hour show. I guess it depends on if maybe I get some more poems in, but I'm just happy to be here and the podcast can last as long as it likes to. I don't care. But I'll go ahead and let's see. Is Stephen there with you by chance? I know he's on the board. I didn't know if he was asleep or what.
He's on the board, yeah.
I'm right next to her, but I'm supposed to be sleeping.
Yeah, his work schedule's been crazy, too. He's the boss, and his schedule's consistent in a lot of early days.
Oh, so, I hate that so much.
Yeah.
I don't understand the early days thing, because I work nights. And but working the nights is what is crazy, because that's when you get the dinner rush and everything like that. So, yeah. Okay.
I deal with the rush.
I think what I'm going to do first, actually, is I think I'm going to do one of the poems that has a SoundCloud. So that way, you and me, Kay, we can comment on that. So let me see which one I'm going to grab first. I think I'm going to do Gerald's first. I just got to find it in the studio. Maria said, don't sleep on us. Why? Oh, Hopefully I don't fall asleep. I mean, I don't feel too tired now. My body just feels more tired than me being actually tired. So, but
yeah,
I gotta find Gerald SoundCloud. And I'm not trying to leave everybody dead. I'm just trying to find the SoundCloud. I should have already done found it or, like, had it on there. Let me see. Here we go. I found it.
I Pain Conquered, written and read by Gerald Green. For years, my eyesight was limited. It started in college, I think. Sometimes 'twas right, sometimes 'twas left, a sharp pain with every blink. I tried to play varsity baseball, excelling when hitting the ball. My RBIs made me a hero in high school the previous fall. But now I was hampered by pain and couldn't see sufficiently. The pitch would go right down the middle, and I'd miss it consistently. When driving my car, it was hellish, not able to judge where I was. I'd slow down too late and hit the brake, unsure of the havoc I'd cause. The doctors could not understand it and tested me every which way. The specialists also were puzzled by MRI scan and X-ray. The medical bills were excessive, and grades were also affected, as blinking in pain created strain, making me feel disconnected. Our family life had dark moments brought on by my faulty eyesight that lingered without any let-up, except when I'd lay down at night. My daughter espied the solution. One morning, she quickly spoke up. She watched me drink coffee, then shouted, "Remove that teaspoon from your cup." End poem.
Oh, my. Oh, this is a really good one. I always do like hearing his SoundClouds, and I know he does them more and more. But yeah, I like that he put a little bit of humor in there and stuff like that. But yeah, I really enjoy this. I also enjoyed the rhyme he did too, because like I love those, like I used to write them more the story type rhyme kind of poems or something. I won't call them like a Dr. Seuss. It's kind of like a Dr. Seuss, but it's just like it's telling a story in rhyme. And I always like enjoy reading those and writing them. I just haven't written one in a while, but I really enjoyed this one from him. Like it was really creative and told a good story. Kay, what did you think?
Well, yeah, I like the picture first off because it could look like a bad case of pink eye.
Pumpkin
eye, as Stephen would call it, yeah. But, yeah, I like the humor. Definitely, yeah, the flow of rhyme is awesome. But I like the play on the view of eyesight because, speaking of eyesight, it can, you know, it can also speak to me as how I see it, as to, you know, perception, as to, you know, maybe how you see things, how you do things, how it affects what you do. But, yeah, I love the humor at the end. It's an excellent read. Wonderful all around.
Awesome comment, Kay. And yeah, I'll definitely agree with you on that kind of on that comment. All right. That looks like me every single night tossing and turning. Look like a dance like that.
Play with restless leg syndrome, because sometimes I have to yell at you, wake up and knock it off, because
yeah,
you're
I'll
kicking me at times.
It kicks, I know.
Like, kind of like restless leg syndrome or whatever, or what is that called?
Yeah,
I think.
Restless leg syndrome, yeah. The legs are always moving, they're always kicking.
That's what I get hot.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I couldn't imagine. I think I could handle that a little. I can handle snoring to a degree because both my parents snored, but I don't really know how I feel about it in the future sleeping next to someone that snores. I might be able to handle it to a degree, but I feel like I could handle the restless leg a little more than the snoring. I don't know why. Like, you would think you'd rather hear snoring than be, like, kicked in the leg or kicked in the rib or something, kicked in the feet somewhere. But, yeah. All right. Let's see what I'm going to do next. I guess I'll go ahead and do yours, Kay, and then we'll do another one. It's really quiet.
Quiet, yeah.
You want me to make noise?
No, no noise.
All right, Kay, whenever you're ready.
Okay, this is an oldie, but I think it carries its own sentiments. It's about my marriage with Stephen. And, the way we take care of each other, it helps to get through a lot of stuff. I call us Dance of Eternal Colors. Solid doses of candy, weave the sparkled rainbows. Strawberry shortcake, peppermint senses, lips of pink to kiss. Feels the death of sundown along the mountainside of Moonstone. Tongues of sweetness play chutes and ladders. Dance of creation shows no jokers wild. Etched picturesque scars lantern in the night. Footprints and sand are the unspoken dwelling as we sway to dances of black glitter peppered with childlike wonder and dreamland. Pockets full of holes, head in the clouds with one foot on the ground as I never knew better, neither did you. Piercing lyricism sings to children refusing to grow up. Between the cracks, words of harm and sitting in the light. Hopscotching through sarcasm as the chasms don't have to be a snake pit of death. Through the garden, life begins. This place for the moment for eternity, tumbling down in Candyland, his lady in peppermint waltzes, while being the light to carry both. A spoonful of laughter makes the day shine as we perfect the tight-roped walk that glitters upon fields of strawberries. Heaven is where the future is born, sealing what is meant to be, because in this life, everything is possible. End poem.
I do remember hearing this one before, but I don't know, it's like when you hear a poem a few different times, you're always going to get something different. Or are you like, go back on your old comment and like think about that again and think something different. But I really like this one because you bring, like, it seems like you bring that childhood aspect of it, shortcake, peppermint, or the shoe playing chutes and ladders or something like that. But then it's like you watch it mature and grow, or like kind of watch like the poem. I don't know if that makes any sense, like going through time. But I really love that spoonful of laughter makes a day shine as we perfect the tightrope walk that glitters in fields of strawberries. I like that they perfect the tightrope walk. Like you are trying, even if it seems like you're on a tightrope. Like it seems like everything was perfect at one time, and then other time, or like sometimes it even seems like things are on the edge. Like it could be, something could be sweet, but then you may not even feel the sweetness that's even there because there's just like some underlying feeling underneath. I think what you did with this was just amazing. Like I said, I like the imagery too, especially with the peppermint in there. I think you put that in there like twice or something like that, but yeah. It's really, really okay.
Thank you.
And if Stephen isn't asleep, if he wants to comment, he can. Unless he's asleep.
Well, we like this, of course. It's about us. So, and I like how you bring in the peppermint senses because the lips to kiss, the peppermint lip balm that you always wear. So I get the peppermint kisses. I always like that. I always look forward to that, too. But I really like the stanza about our pockets being full of holes and our heads in the clouds and refusing to grow up because, we are children. We prove that every day. Yeah, we don't have a lot of money, but we're still very happy because of what we do have because we're together. It's an awesome poem.
Thank you.
Awesome comments, Stephen. Yeah, I often think that it doesn't take like a million things to to make happiness and stuff like that. There's a saying I came up with when I was younger, and I've every time I get older, I realize how more and more important that it is. I've actually done 4 podcasts before, but the quote is, it's not the places you go, it's the people you're with. And I've learned that lesson so many times where I have just been somewhere, and it could be the most beautiful thing in the entire universe, but if I'm with someone or with people that I don't want to be with, it doesn't make the experience any better. So being with the person that you are with makes the experience 10 times better. So we'll agree with
Definitely.
You on that.
I thought you were going to go to a different one.
What are you talking about?
I don't care too much for money. Money can't buy me love.
Money can't buy love. It doesn't buy happiness either. Buys possessions.
Yep. And what can happen to those possessions? They can get broken, lost. Someone threw them in the Chevron station. Who knows? I'll stop with that. All right.
You're supposed to blow my face.
I'm not going to blow on your face.
Oh, I see you both coming in that. Oh, man. All right. Let's see where we're going to go next. I think I'm going to do, since I know he's out on the board, I'm going to do Marius' piece next. If I can, I got to go find the SoundCloud again. Okay. We'll start singing the Jeopardy music. Da, da, da. Okay, let's see. I got it. I'm going to go ahead and post the link. And here we go. And here's the SoundCloud.
Inside your scars grows a new flower. After a miserable long pitch dark night, after the cruel betrayal hour, bright colors glisten in the new morning light. Your wound itches, hurt and bleed, but from your scarring and tears and pain will magically grow love's eternal seed and bloom white flowers in spring's rain. The countless bruises make you stronger. Through these temporary hardships, you learn perseverance, endurance, patience. Just wait, my friend, a little longer. You soon will shine in his glorious presence.
Wow. I did not expect the music. I don't know why I did not expect the music, but like as soon as that music like started, I just started getting like chills a little bit. But it's very beautiful. I love the part though about the countless bruises making you stronger through the temporary hardship. Because how true is that? Like, oh, what's that song? Something that makes you stronger. I can't think of the name of the song. I think it's a Katy Perry song. I can't think of the song. But it is. It's true. What is it?
If it don't kill you, it'll make you stronger.
Yes, if it doesn't kill you, that's it. Thank you. I couldn't think of the song. But that is true. Like all the times that you go through something, every single heartbreak you get, every single bruise you get, every single pain that seems to happen, it always seems to make you stronger from it. Because I can definitely say from like personal experience of several things that have happened to me, but then it makes you realize like, oh, wait, I got through this. Then what's the next thing that's going to come? Like, you can just keep going and going and going. But yeah, that I absolutely love this, and I love the rhyme in it too. Like, it just had such this like peace throughout it, and like this glorious feeling behind the words and the music and everything. And I don't know, it's a beautiful, beautiful poem, and I really loved hearing it. I think they're out listening on the board, so like it's really, really wonderful to hear this. And Kay, you want to comment?
Yeah, I like the music that was throughout the audio. But yeah, I like how he speaks about the countless bruises. They can make you stronger. Yeah, and the temporary hardships. Yeah, you know, speaking to life, you know, in the moment when things are going on at that time, they may seem like they're the end-all, be-all, and it's all-encompassing. But in one way or another, everybody gets through it. You just got to have faith and keep moving forward, as he speaks about perseverance, endurance, and patience, because that's very true. Whenever the storms come, that test faith, test one's patience in any sense of the word. Ride in the storm and just wait for the better times. That's the best way to take it. I like how he brings in faith as well, and it's just a wonderful share all around. A beautiful read.
Amazing comment, Kay, and if Stephen wants to comment, he can too. I won't oblige.
Sorry. I'm lost.
You're lost.
I am.
Get on the right page.
I'm on the right page. Hatter said it to me. I blame Hatter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I blame Hatter.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought this was beautiful. I definitely always like Marius' sound files because he likes to put that music in the background. It really helps out. But that last stanza about, like you said, Crystal, the countless bruises that make you stronger through the temporary hardship. And like Kay said, it brings in the faith at the end. He'll shine his glorious presence. You know, in the end, it will all be worth it. Yeah, I thought this was awesome.
Awesome comments, Stephen. Yeah, like I said, I really love the way that that everything just kind of sounded. I don't know, it just sounded like a poem, almost like a poem that you would need to, or even the YouTube. It was a YouTube video that I got it from, or that they made it into. Like, it seems like something that you would listen to when you just needed to be like at peace. Because it definitely put me at peace. Like I said, I had a long, stressful day at work, and then, like, I've already kind of been at peace, like, doing the podcast, but that, like, put me, at, like, more at peace. So you did a great job on that. So, yeah, really beautiful piece. And thank you, Kay and Stephen, for commenting. I really don't have that many poems. I know it's late. I know people are asleep. Frank said he'd call. I know Deb's going to call. Hatter dropped one in there. I do have Becky's. Kay, you want to read for Becky?
Yeah.
Okay. While Hatter puts a top hat in here. I don't want us a hat for.
Because he's always pulling rabbits out of his hat. The hat man.
All right, we'll start reading, Kay. Let me let Deb into the room because she just called. Hi, Deb.
Hello.
Hi, how you guys?
Hi. Hello. Glad you're here. I'm
trying to find a picture of somebody's room.
Me too. I've been missing you.
All right, well, we're about to read Becky's poem. Kay is about to read it. So you want to start, Kay?
Yes. Okay. This is by Becky Friend, and it's called Mother. I'm back in that cold, folding chair. No room for sleep, covering the night shift and watching her twitch as she drifts into a fitful sleep. While I count kicks beneath the sheets, and I think she's dreamwalking, tiptoeing in her pink gripper socks on the rockiest road, one way, dead end, with no return, unpaved and littered with wishbones, glitter and gravel, traveling the last mile of an unapologetic matriarch. Absolute ruler of my childhood, quick-stepped from hickory switch to walking cane, from Corvair wagon to wheelchair to a bed with guardrail rose. Both of us knowing, she knows. Together we heard the doctor's diagnosis, the grave prognosis, but we don't speak of it. Talking truth is not her strength, or facing dissent like me, so I sit in the safety of silence, watching her walk into a nightmare of her short-sighted eyes, no pathway back to kiss me and make it better. End poem. And her AN says, dedicated to Mom, her death 3 years ago left behind so many unanswered questions and unresolved emotions.
Wow. I do know that we often hear a lot about, I've heard Becky talk about her mom and stuff like that. So her bringing this doesn't really surprise me that much. But one, I am just happy to see a Becky poem because I feel like I haven't read one and I don't know when. I know that she's been having a hiatus and stuff like that, taking some time off, and I'm glad that she is doing better. And but yeah, I love just where she goes with this. It has all that imagery, that Becky imagery that I love to read. Like every time I read one of her poems, I feel like I'm there every time. So her talking about her mother's health just going down and then getting the diagnosis and everything, like you feel like you're there in that doctor's office. You feel like you're there watching her mother just as much as she is. You feel her emotions. You feel everything she feels. Like she portrays that really well. And but yeah, I think that this is just beautiful. Has her heart in it. Like I said, has her imagery, everything. It's absolutely beautiful. And Kay, you read it. You want to comment?
Well, I do understand this very well because as I've been talking to Stephen a lot lately, as I tell him, I can feel it creeping in because June is the anniversary of my mother's passing. And it'll be the 23 years since she passed away. And try as I might, every time when we get closer to summer, I silently fall into depression because of what she's saying about the unresolved emotions. I understand that very well because growing up, my parents were abusive. I was able to make peace with my dad, but my mother, she passed away abruptly. So she definitely left me with a lot of unanswered questions and unresolved emotions that take the life out of me every year, no matter how hard I try. Her words definitely speak to my heart because I can understand this very well. It's an excellent share for tonight.
Excellent comment. Okay. Yeah, I remember even you you talking about it as well, about your mother's passing, because I remember you said it was right around the time that you had your son, because I know your son and I are about the same age, so I remember you bringing that up too. Deb, you want to make a comment?
I'm trying to imagine the heartache of sitting there watching and not being able to do anything about it, knowing she knows and you know, but you don't talk about it. And just, my goodness, watching her and she's twitching and I'm thinking, you know, it must have been horrifying. And the poem's 2 years old and it says 3 years ago, so I guess it was 5 years ago. So when I got to that part and it hit me, because like it's very often that when one parent goes, you lose the other one within 5 years. There's something about people that were married for a really long time that the one that was left behind stay without the other one. So, and then thinking about the fact that she, you know, she, part of the reason she was on hiatus was because of losing her dad. Plus, you know, then her dog, and it's like the sorrow that she's been wrapped in. And you think about the one stanza where it says, "The absolute ruler of my childhood's quick step from a hickory switch to a walking cane," where it's like that the person that you thought was the strongest, the person that made the rules, the person that kept you in line, was suddenly the person there that was just lost in nightmares. And knowing that she's in the nightmare must be so, you just, that helpless feeling, I'm just, it makes me want to cry. Really, really, really powerful, right?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like I said, I even had like a little bit of tears come to my eyes too. That definitely very emotional piece. An amazing comment, Deb. I could feel the tears almost in your eyes the way you were talking. Oh, wow. All right. Oh, okay. I know that I messaged Frank about calling in, because like I said, we don't have that many poems. I don't see the podcast going past 11:30. I was trying to say Eastern time. Actually, no, I'm sorry. That wouldn't even be Eastern time. That would be 12:30. I'll go with that. I'm sorry. I'm used to Central time. Okay. All right. I got you, Frank. Everybody say hi to Frank.
Hello there, Crystal. I heard that. I do get to that point there, twist of mind, and do forget the time at times. So no blame whatsoever.
I say I can do Eastern time a little bit better than Pacific time, though. Like, I often, like, 2 hours for me, 3 hours, like, you've got to just remember.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm glad to hear. Times as well.
I know, because, like, you have all these people from around the world, like, now I couldn't even, like, it takes me a bit to know, like, England's time or Africa's time or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, that
England
that
is
one.
Like 6 hours. They are 6 hours Eastern time. They would be seven, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, from Central time. Africa is roughly the same. It'd be about 7 hours as well. I know Spain is 6 to 7 as well. So Eastern, Western Europe is pretty much around 6-7 hours. And Africa does center with Europe. Of course, if you go on to West Eastern Europe, where, you know, Russia and all that, all those countries over there, then it's a lot more, many more hours.
Yeah. No, it can make you just kind of go all over the place because you can remember, oh, this time and this time, this time, this time, and yeah.
Don't
Plus,
worry,
like I said,
we'll teach you.
No, it's like I've just been so tired lately, and that's the other thing too. I think that's why I was like kind of all over the map when it came to time. Because the only time I look at now is the time on my
Your
phone to see when in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, when in the world I get off work. That's the time. That's what I'm looking at. Yeah, I was definitely doing that tonight. So I was like, I want to run home and do my podcast. I want to go. Like, yeah. But yeah. All right. So we just read Becky's. Thank you, Becky.
Oh, I didn't get a chance to read hers. I'll have to comment afterwards. I didn't get a chance to read it, to hear it.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think that we're going to be on here because I have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4.
You didn't erase it, right? If I go into your lead
there,
the trials. Okay. I'll look at it afterwards then, and I'll comment.
Oh. No, we've got 5 poems left. We have mine, Hatter's, Laughing Souls, Deb's, and yours, Frank. So, yeah, we got that many poems left.
Am I the only one with you?
No, we got Deb and we got Kay.
Oh,
and
all right.
Steven, who
right.
I'm not sure if he fell asleep yet.
Okay. I just thought I'd ask. I just hear
yeah,
so much
no, you're
quiet.
Good. It is. It's very quiet, but I figured because it's late and I know people are asleep and everything. Plus, it's Friday night. People are probably out partying.
No crickets tonight, no?
usually Fridays are my date night, so I can't even really say anything to that. So,
I was expecting the crickets there.
If I had a SoundCloud or not of the audio of crickets, I would do it. I don't know if there is any though anywhere. Because just kind of stuff. I mean, maybe they're just commenting. Maybe the crickets are just commenting. They're talking about the poems. Who knows?
Well, I can hear some clicking there. Maybe it's them clicking. I can hear clicking.
Oh, that's me. That's my computer.
Oh, is it? I almost thought you were being attacked there by the crickets.
Oh, no.
They were writing some type of script codes. They were coding something.
Maybe it was Morse code or something.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back on to poetry. Okay, what am I going to do next? I think the next one I'm going to do, Deb, you want to go ahead and read?
Sure.
Okay.
So, Deb.
Hello. Okay. This is called "But Light Shined in the Window Pane, Chasing All the Darkness Away." Here we go. The pastel neon arc colors fry to ebony. Periwinkle sky tints churn to dark gray. Circled by 13, standing at her bed, Mother leaves this world to rise today. Within 5 years, Mama and Daddy reunite, leaving me and my 3 siblings orphaned, making it hard to see a glow in chrome light. Hazel green eyes stare at the opal moon, dropping for the climb of the yellow sun. Then we jump through the flaming hoops just to break from the shadow prison. All the firsts without them shred the heartstrings, as frowns mark 4 faces more than smiles do. A raging red ache blocks the last for months, and eclipses the hot tangerine sunshine, too. I swell as the teardrops wet the cheeks, spilling the blues, falling with sobs and wails. Family snapshots play inside the brain and etch thick silver stains from the salt trails. But the stains wipe off and the teardrops dry. Dawn sunlight triggers pictures of fairy tales. We can all smile now without them in the room, wrapped in the caress of until we meet again. Spotting the colors in spring flowers that bloom as all the footsteps for life's journey resume, with no escalator to visit beyond the pearl moon. And pull.
Wow. Oh, man, wow. I know that you are emotional right now, Deb, and I can feel it, but wow, you got me a little bit now. I love that. When I first saw the picture, I was like, what? I was like, is that an escalator? I was like, what is that? And I knew it was an escalator, but I was like, where is it? It looks like it's just out in the middle of nowhere. And And yeah, but I love that ending, though. As all the footsteps for life's journey resume, with no escalators to visit beyond the pearl moon. Like, I love just the way that sounds. And it is often true, too, when you think of an escalator, it either goes up or it goes down. Same thing with an elevator, stairs, anything like that. But a lot of the times with an escalator, it's like you go up to a certain place and then you can't really go up anymore. You just got to go down. So it does kind of give a good observation for life and death, that like once you're going, once somebody leaves, like you often don't have all those steps anymore. You can't just go on beyond the moon and be there just all the time. Like it seems like they've just disappeared. But yeah, this is just really, really, really beautiful. And I love, oh, where was the part I love? I know I'm stealing lines like you do. Hazel green eyes stare at the opal moon, dripping for the climb of a yellow sun. Like the way that you bring out all the colors there about the hazel green eyes at the opal moon and then the yellow sun, like you're bringing in this beautiful picture, but yet there's also that emotion behind it as well. I am blown away by this, Deb. Like you really put your heart and soul in this, and I also do love the title too, about chasing all the darkness away, that light can shine brighter. This is just really beautiful. And let me get you some comments. Frank.
Thank you, Crystal.
You're welcome.
Oh,
Frank, what's your comment?
You almost made me cry there, Deb. I'm speechless.
I'm sorry.
This is a very, very powerful piece here. I mean, I could tell just in your voice, you know, I said something must be, there's something sober about it, some somber, make that something. I don't know, I thought it was you were tired, but then I realized that perhaps just thinking of his poem here has made you think, this is just beautiful, beautiful piece here. It almost seems this piece should be nominated. You know, unfortunately, I'm only one person, but if we all could nominate it, we should. You know, this what you, these lines here are so exquisite. They're so captivating. And this whole notion of what moving on, it's so simple to say moving on, but it's not easy. You know, even though the years can pass, the memories are so fresh, are still there. And you never forget. And you move on because you have to, because life makes you move on, it compels you. But it's not because you want to move on. It almost gets to a point where you feel you're alone. You feel afraid of what lies ahead, the unknown, without the loved ones that you had there. And this exemplifies for me the beauty of what humanity is when we really give a damn about those we love. And I just love the reverential love expressed here in this tribute here, but this is just a beautiful piece. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I feel the love that you have here and you shared for your parents, it is still tangible. And even though me and you have not met in person, I would give you a tremendous hug if I could, ma'am.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome. You're an inspiration, Deb. Know that. You're an inspiration.
That's a nice thing to say.
Oh, you are.
Sorry, I was trying to get myself off of mute. That's an amazing comment, Frank. I definitely agree with you, too, about them being like this inspiration and everything. It's the truth. Let's see. Okay, how about your comment?
Well, I'm going to have to be honest and say I don't understand emotions like these. Because of my mother passing, I didn't feel these emotions. I still don't feel those emotions. But I know that when my father passes away, that I would, because of the relationship that I was able to build with him after we made amends. You're right. It definitely speaks about the first in this instant as being the hardest, as it would be, because when I lost my son, every first was hard. And it's been 10 years, and it still doesn't get any easier, in all honesty. So I'm not sure if getting through the firsts are hard, but I think sometimes time always reminds one as to what is lost and remembrance of what was as well. This is an excellent read. It really is, and it speaks from the heart of holding the memories and holding the love and to never forget.
Thank you, Kay. And if you guys get a chance, there's an amazing video in the author's notes. But I would start with a tissue in my hand, just saying. But thank you, everyone.
I'll listen to it afterwards, Deb. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I know I saw the video, and I wondered about it. I'll check it out, too. But
it's called
that
Visiting
was an
Hours.
Okay.
Actually,
if there was Visiting Hours.
Ed Sheeran.
I think I have heard of that song then. Okay. let's see. But thank you, Deb, for writing that. Absolutely beautiful. I'm still kind of emotional from it. I think we all are. Yeah. Let's see what I've got. I put Laughing Souls poem up next. I was going to read for them, and then I'll do yours, Frank, and then I'm trying to think what I have next. I know I have mine and I have Hatter's, and I might have one more than that, but I'm going to go ahead and read for Laughing Soul. And here we go. And this is called Fallen in Love with You. Silently one night by the window, I saw a reflection of a rainbow. Unfold my soul, colors so chaste, I fell in love with a dark, sequestered glow. Wine drops drenched my chalice half empty, bled my quill, moonlight, confetti. Stars gleamed in vivid hues of gold betwixt the silver sea. I cannot speak tonight. Betwixt the silver scenes of life bloomed a new portrait of me. When you've accepted your every flaw, imperfections, no more your bare skin claw, and darling, if I can't help falling in love with you, this is because of the lens now mirrors colors so true, red and azure and crimson and blue. Use my soul, oh, for once I knew. The skies aren't gray, and my heart ain't a prey. Oh, darling, for I've fallen in love with you. Or I should say with you, because that's how it reads. But in full. All right. This is really, really, really beautiful. And I would say that it often is times where you seem like you've gone through a hard time, and it always seems like there's someone that pops up in, well, not even necessarily meaning like a boyfriend or a girlfriend or just or a spouse or something like that, but even just people come in your life in general, and they just seem like they were the one person that you needed and they needed at a time, and I feel like they put that in here. But I love all the colors and everything and the way that it definitely sounds like a song, and maybe it was supposed to be one. But I love that, though, talking about that being a new portrait of yourself, like just kind of changing with it, seeing colors a completely different way, seeing everything just a completely different way. But I love the colors and everything and just the overall, I don't know, like sweetness to it. It's really, really, really beautiful. a really beautiful poem. And thank you for posting it and letting us read it. Let me get a comment from Frank.
Yes, first of all, that was a good read there. This is a very romantic, passionate piece. The love mentioned in this poem exudes a forever beauty of love. There's some very exquisite lines in this piece here that are very reminiscent of those last stanza. Red and azuri, crimson blue hues my soul also once knew. The skies ain't gray, my heart ain't a prey. But I fall in love with you. Now, I don't know how it says, but perhaps it's better. it's a very romantic piece there, and I like the rhyming scheme is there, but I wouldn't be. It's impeccable as well, but I went beyond that. Cause I don't really go into the rhyming thing and all of that. I'm all into the substance of the poem, and that's what I gravitated here. And this was just an excellent share.
Awesome comment. I love what Laughing Soul put out on the board about singing, and I just like, I wouldn't know how to, like, what tune or nothing. So I think I'm just gonna leave that alone. But
well,
awesome.
You have
awesome
to
comment.
Ask to make a soundtrack of a singing.
All right, let me get a comment from Kay.
Well, yeah, I like the way you read the ending. I definitely think this is an excellent share because there was a lot of prompts that she had to read together to bring it together. But it definitely speaks of love of self. And I know at the end of the day, that's actually a very difficult thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do either. But as I said, but to achieve it is a beautiful thing, as she speaks to. Accept in the flaws, let and go, embrace in the imperfections that we all have, and be proud. It's an excellent share for tonight.
Amazing comment, Kay. And Deb, your comment?
Well, I'm trying to picture her, and she's sitting there, and I like the fact that rather than being at the mirror, it's a reflection in the window, and she saw the rainbow, but it brought herself to mind, and she's looking, and the gleam and the vivid hues of gold betwixt the silver scenes of a life bloomed in a new portrait of me. So the fact that she's looking through the rainbow and she finds herself, and it's like the acceptance is there. She accepts herself. It's not somebody else who's accepting her. She's accepting herself. She's seeing herself there and finding out that everything she sees is okay, and that she's in love. The you that she's fallen in love with is speaking to herself. At least it's like cues my soul, oh, so once knew the skies ain't gray and my heart ain't prey. Oh, darling, for I've fallen in love with you. And like I said, I just, it kind of feels like it's not, okay, yeah, I'm looking at her hashtags or whatever you call them at the bottom, self-love. So she's reconciliating the feelings that she has for herself and realizing that she's a pretty awesome person and that she actually loves herself, and that's a big deal. So this is really great.
I kind of did get that hint as well about the whole self-love thing, but like I think just kind of looking at it in a few different ways. But I love seeing that, too, about it being a self-love thing. That's awesome. And amazing, amazing comment, Deb. It also kind of brings to mind that song by, I think, Elvis sings it, Can't Help Falling in Love with You. I don't know why that song came to mind, too. But is it by Elvis? I think it is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yes, it's by,
yep.
Yeah.
sure is.
Okay, I thought. Yeah. But anyway, thank you, Laughing Soul, for the poem and everything. It was absolutely beautiful. And Frank, I got you next to read.
All right. This is a piece I wrote. Let me scroll to see when I wrote this. I wrote this a month ago, and it was for Kay's, or Stevens, The Mortuary of Shadows that brings out the chain. So this was a piece that I wrote back for that that show, and it's called A Man's Tribulation, and it goes like this. Perhaps life is never how we imagine it, in all the semblance of its genuine form. There can be many things, or only the reality to which we attach its meaning. There are men who walk behind their shadow, and there are men who lose themselves in their shadow. Men whose plight is nothing more than the toils and travails of a fate, in comparison to men whose aspiration is the beauty of the artist. An artist is faithful to his art, revolutionary and aesthetic. Seldom is an artist tedious, unfaithful to the one thing sacred. To be burdened by the heavy chains of misfortune is the same as being a prisoner, exiled to oblivion. Man is either a gentleman in earnest or a vain pursuer of his own egotism. There comes a time when man must know what is right from wrong, what is living or suffering. He must learn to walk from behind his shadow, and to pluck the thorns and not the petals, to break the manacles of his oppression and exhibit the action of redemption. He must be beholden to his plight, not to the master of his avidity. Any man can look himself in the mirror and see his reflection, but few men ever see that hidden truth. He can choose to be a champion to his cause or simply remain silent without a voice. So dreadful is that reality to fathom. Nevertheless, it speaks of the cruelty of life. There is a door of uncertainty a man must cross through in order to know the answers to his questions. And of happiness, one must first know sadness to reach the awareness of his soul. Age is only a number given to our day of birth, but it means nothing in regard to one's fulfillment of wisdom. A man's tribulation is measured in the wisdom of words and deeds, not by the blind path of his mistakes. In the end, a man must go his own way, march to the sound of his own drumbeat. End the poem.
Wow, Frank. I love just kind of how profound this just kind of reads and everything. Everything about it. But I think the part that I love the most is in the middle, where it comes a time when a man must know what is right from wrong and what is living from suffering. He must learn to walk behind a shadow and to pluck the thorns and not the petals. I love that, how that sounds, though, to pluck the thorns and not the petals, like to just kind of see the beauty from the pain almost, like instead of thinking like, oh, if I fix this, it'll fix this, and then really it doesn't. But really just seeing his own actions and I just see this poem as kind of like a way of maturity or something like that, just kind of like as you grow older, the wisdom you fulfill and life going on, learning life lessons and kind of just like learning from your own mistakes and everything like that. Like, it's really, really powerful, Frank, and really beautiful. And I like that you put in an art kind of form to it as well. I just love that part, though, about the plucking the thorns and not the petals. Like, I like the way that metaphor sounds. Pretty good.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Like Deb, I will suggest, when I write these, of course, this is like the 54th or 53rd piece I've written, influence of my Oscar Wilde series. I don't know. I said I was going to give up, but I don't seem to. The piece, if you get a chance to read, listen to the music as you read this piece, it becomes even more powerful. That's how when I write these pieces here, I listen to that video. believe it or not, I listen to the music of that video, and it inspires me to read, to create the continuation of these the series of Oscar Wilde reflections.
Oh, he often does write some very profound things, because I've read some stuff of his before and written to it and stuff. Like, I love when people go and make a more, I guess, metaphoric kind of quote or something like that, and he writes a lot of those. So, so this is pretty amazing. I knew it was him in the picture, too, and as soon as I saw that, I was like, yeah. but yeah, this is pretty
amazing.
I've got
55 pieces of his. I didn't think I'd go that long, but I've got 55 of his pieces that are actually inspired by him.
Well, let me get you some comments. I think I'll start with Kay first.
Well, yeah, I do like this one because, yeah, you have brought a lot of Oscar Wilde, and that's cool because, you know, in the context of the prompt that this was written to, I was also, when I left my comment, I was speaking about his life, too, because I felt it was pivotal to the write with certain things you brought in there, because his lifestyle, it was frowned upon, as I said. He passed away at an early age. But during that time, others as well turning their back against him as to not want to admit who they are out of fear or backlash like he went through. So, yeah, the abandonment that he went through because of kind of the guilt of association thing, the fear of, you know, what happened to this person will happen to me if I associate with this person. I like how you speak about life never is how we imagine it, because that's so very true. It goes sadly as it is meant to, whether we want it to be that way or not. I always like to think that if in this life you went through great strife, you can be redeemed in your next life. And what was frowned upon a long time ago still is by some, yes, but just not in the extremes that he had to suffer. There truly is a lot here, as always, a lot of wisdom, deep thoughts. And I will close with, despite it all, even if walking alone, one has to walk the path that is meant for them. And sometimes that's the most freeing thing that you can do as well, because you discover who you are and where your true happiness lies.
I agree. Thank you. Thank you very much, Kay. That was very insightful. That was an awesome comment there.
Thank you.
Indeed. That was an amazing comment, Kay.
I hope
you
didn't wake
up
Stephen there.
Yeah, I do. For one thing, I was homing in on the same parts that you were with the stepping out of the shadows and with the pulling off the thorns rather than the petals. They were really, really powerful metaphors. And sometimes you don't think about a shadow as a safety net, but sometimes having the spotlight on you can be terrifying. You can't really hide anything. It's like that expression, the cold, hard light of day. And I got that kind of a feel from the part with the shadows. Now, I stepped away from my computer, so I can't quote the lines, but the trip through life and the, to use the word from the prompt, and the tribulations that you go through, it's like a roller coaster, and you have to take the good with the bad. But sometimes you feel like you just deserve the bad, and when you sort of forget the good times because you're feeling overwhelmed with the bad, and vice versa. And it's trying to balance them that's the hardest part. And the picture that's with your poem is really awesome, Frank. Powerful.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, buddy. Appreciate that, Deb. I said I'd stop writing Oscar, but I don't know why, but I'm still going after 55 poems.
I mean, if you're inspired, you're inspired. That's what I sit there and say. I know some people that get so inspired by something that they just keep going. Like, there's somebody on here, I'm pretty sure everybody probably knows who I'm talking about. but they have like over 25, 20, it might be more than that. I don't know how many it is now, but over like 27,000 poems. And I'd say a majority of them are haikus because that's what they are inspired to write. So I don't know if anyone
if I get to 500, if I get to 555, are you going to tell me that's a little bit too extreme?
No. Because you're inspired by it. I mean, I will say that probably a majority of my poems have a lot of to do with hope, and that's just kind of what I get. I don't know if I would say you get inspired by it. It's more of something that I want to inspire in other people, because I think that I'm meant to be on this earth to encourage people and give them hope. Like, even before, my mom named me Hope, but she didn't know. She didn't know that my middle name was going to impact me that much. Even if my middle name wasn't that, I'd still want to do it because it's just like the person I like to be. So I get that if you're inspired by Oscar Wilde and want to write and from his work.
Your pieces, I've noticed lately, your pieces have been more, I mean, lately your pieces there, they've had that message there, of hope there. They've been a little bit sadder there, Crystal, but I did notice the messages of hope there in your pieces recently.
Yeah. I'm surprised not everybody's seeing all the pieces I've written that have been more lovey-dovey. Those ones.
No, that too. That too.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you that, but I did notice that. But they've been very exquisite there. I mean, I've noticed that there's a change there in your poems there, but it's good.
Yeah.
It's good that you shared with us.
On a side
note, I disagree. I think your mom did know that her little girl was going to be Hope for a lot of people. And I, for one, think that she gave you a perfect middle name. Just saying.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, they don't ever think that it actually is my middle name because they think that, like, I just put that on here. And they're like, oh, like, is Chris your first name? I'm like, yeah. And then they'd be like, oh, what's that? I guess you like to just bring hope. And I was like, actually, no, that's my middle name. Like, I didn't do it on purpose. Like, when I first started writing poetry, I didn't think that. I didn't think, like, oh, yeah. I mean, I will say my poems were more happy poems. I didn't write a lot of sad poems for a while or, like, anything darker for a while because it was just, like, sunshine and rainbows. Like, I don't know why I wrote that stuff, but I did. But anyway, I have my poem. Actually, I'm about to read mine. And then we have Hatters. And then I guess we'll do announcements and end the show. Okay.
Sounds like a plan. And we did manage to drag you kicking and screaming into writing dark poetry.
Oh,
I know. I mean, I kind of did it on my own terms, though, because, like, I did have it where I think what it was whenever I first started doing the podcast is that I was going through a dark time and I didn't want to write that stuff because I didn't want to think about it. But then as I started like feeling more okay about it and I was like, I need to let my emotions out. That's when like, it's like everything just hit the fan. I just let go.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but you let go, you did it with class and finesse and you 9 times out of 10 wound up making it a full circle poem where even though it was loaded with darkness, you brought us all the way back to the light and the hope at the end. So you are
light
hope.
Yeah.
Like it or not, you are hope.
I know, I'm
indeed
stuck with it. all right. So this one is called, I wrote it recently, and it's kind of been, like I said, a little bit about my life recently, kind of being very stressed out about work and everything. But just because I even had to do it tonight where I just had to, like, sit myself down in the bathroom a few minutes and was like, just breathe, Crystal, just breathe. So this is called Let Me Breathe, and here we go. Let me breathe. Make me feel at peace again. Midnight skies clouds my vision, rattling my mind with gusting winds. Bitter breath beneath my feet, frozen from damp charcoal grass. Running nonstop, masked face, covering the emptiness from my past. Meditation above porcelain stars, wrapping me with butterfly prayers. Heaven's cold breath kisses my cheek, telling me there's peace in the frigid air. There's light in the darkness, stars rippling in the crystal waters beneath, allowing me to be at peace and letting me breathe. End poem. And I'll let myself get comments. I think it's always awkward. Kay, you want to comment?
Yeah, you know, I like how you speak about let me breathe, let me feel peace. Bitter breath beneath my feet, light in the darkness, allow myself to be peace and let me breathe. Those are wonderful poetic thoughts that speak to the heart of us all that need the refuge of peace to live again. It's a wonderful share. It speaks beautifully. Yeah, and it definitely speaks to the heart of us all.
Thank you, Kay. Awesome comment. And Deb, how about you?
I think part of me always waits to see if you put crystal and or hope in your poem. And something about that always tickles me. But it always works, like stars rippling in the crystal waters beneath, allowing myself to be at peace and letting me breathe. So even through the pain, and this proves my point from a few moments ago, your words ending with and letting me breathe is coming full circle back to everything's okay, back to that hope. So let me breathe, make me feel at peace again. Midnight skies cloud my vision, rattling my mind with gusting winds. The metaphor of your mind rattling from those winds is pretty awesome there. And I'm going to leave lines for Kay, but I just have to take one more. Wrapping me with butterfly prayers. What a beautiful image and phrase that is. Another full circle gem. Great job, Crystal.
Thank you, Deb. And I thought you might like the butterfly prayers. That actually just came out of the thought out of nowhere because I was trying to think of what to put before prayers because I wanted to be some kind of peaceful thing. And I was like, I got to put butterfly, I guess. But like when I thought about it, I was like, that's a really interesting thing. And I've never written that before, butterfly prayers. I don't know where it came from. But thank you.
Yeah, but sometimes it's those off-the-wall accidental metaphors that we put in there that wind up being the most incredible ones, and we impress ourselves. I mean, we all can't come up with the incredible phrasing like Kay. Nobody writes metaphors and abstract like she does. It's like,
I know.
Quite often I'm like, wow. Well, you have quite a few of those in there, and butterfly prayers are one of those ones that you wind up wishing you wrote yourself. I wish I wrote it. So, like, yeah, it's brilliant.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for that, Deb. And Frank, I'll have you comment, and then I'll have you for Hatter, if you don't mind.
Oh, yes, I do. No, I'm just joking. No, I don't mind. I just love, well, you have to laugh a bit at this hour, you know. It's close to midnight. It's probably passed out over there for some. I just love the serenity reflected in this lovely piece. I felt the need to breathe and need for peace here. It was very much emoted here. I just love what I was saying to you before, you know, the pieces there. This type of writing has changed for me. You used to write a lot of poems that were more innocent, I guess, more jovial. I mean, I would say they were of a different level. This type of writing, I've noticed there, that I noticed more reflection here, more thought here. And it seems that it's because of experiences, you know. When we write poems of this nature here, we write based on our experiences here. And this is a very, you know, although it's only four stanzas, there's a lot of beauty in this piece here. That the imagery as well, stunning as well, and of course that title there, "Let Me Breathe." Wow, that's very vivid, very compelling, and I love the prompt as well, the picture you have there. But I think, and of course, Deb had mentioned that already. When I saw Crystal there, I said that must have been put there because of her own choosing there. But it fit just nice here, Crystal Waters. That's beautiful, beautiful imagery, beautiful piece.
Thank you, Frank. I don't often like just put Crystal or Hope in my poems just because of my name. I just often do it because I do like the word Crystal, not because it's my name, but it always, especially with like water or if you're describing ice or glass, something like that, I feel like it adds a good
part to it. It did go there. It went well there. Crystal Waters, that's beautiful. This Crystal Waters, that's a beautiful image.
Thank you, Frank. And I've got Hatters on the board whenever you're ready to read.
All right. And you said this is the last one, right?
Yes.
This is by a good friend there, Hatter. "The Sounds of Nothing There," and it goes like this. "I walked the sands beyond the beach, where I found a paper shell. The voices I heard echoing, a noise I knew too well. It was the sounds of nothing there, no place to really be. Stories of complete despair that seemed too real to me. I wondered if it got better when I was left alone. I rose when I was dreaming, fell when I was stoned. I don't remember where I went when they told me I was there. I could not find my way home, so I knelt and said a prayer. I wonder if there was something I cared about so much, knowing I felt nothing when you reached for me to touch. To those I pushed away, I was blind. I'm sorry." End of poem.
I love this, and I see that I have read it before, and I wondered if I had. But I love that, the sounds of nothing there, because it often brings that, like what I was talking about before when I first started the podcast, is that I was going through a hard time, and at one time or another for, I'd say, about like 6 months, I felt numb, where I didn't know if I could love, and I didn't even know if I could hate. Like, I just felt numb, like there was nothing there. So I relate to this, to what Hatter is saying. Just feeling like, even when you are feeling someone's touch or something like that, just like you don't feel anything. And it's almost just as bad feeling hate as not feeling anything at all. So I love what he did, what he said and everything. Like, even him talking about, like being stoned to death, part two about being stoned and stuff like that. Like, even then, he couldn't feel the pain. Couldn't feel the pain. He couldn't feel love. He couldn't feel anything. So I really love just kind of where he put this and what he did. And, of course, has the Hatter rhyme as well, which I love reading. But, yeah, this is just really powerful, and I loved hearing it again. It's just amazing. Frank, you read it. You want to comment?
Yeah. Cool. I commend them for sharing this piece here. It takes courage to relate such personal details and things of your own life. This is obviously, first of all, I thought it was a marvelous poem with big metaphors and images, but that's dormancy there, you would say. I just felt it was like an odyssey of suffering and addiction there, and of course, looking at the notes there, there is a reference to his addiction there. Without getting personal here, because I don't know the full extent, I just felt this piece was brilliant in the way he described his addiction there, with such remarkable metaphors there. This was a very, very, very tough piece here to read, to hear, and above all, I'm certain it was for him to write. But the thing is that he's survived, and he's overcome this.
Hello?
I'm here.
Hello?
I'm getting myself off mute. your comment was amazing. Yeah, you do have to think about that too, about how Hatter wrote it as well. Just like, even though you're the one reading it, you think
of yourself
like the poet. Yeah. Let's see. Let me get a comment from Kay.
For me, I think the ending says it all. To those I pushed away, I was blind, I am sorry. Because the thing is, when you get lost in it, you don't see everything around you. You don't see the damage that's doing to yourself, the relationship, how, because you are under the influence. It also affects how you treat people, too. So you can't understand the weight of the situation until after you get clean and you look around and you see what you lost. So, yeah, this definitely speaks to the heart of it all because I can understand these words. My mother was an alcoholic, and Stephen had his own addictions for a long time before he got better. So you do hurt the ones that you love the most, and sometimes you push them so far that they won't come back. But if they do, you're damn lucky, and don't abuse that ever.
Amazing. Comment, okay. That is the truth, too. Let's see. And Deb, you want to give the last comment, and then we'll do announcements.
Sure. I actually read this one for Hatter on a show 4 years ago, and it's every bit as powerful right now as it was then when I read for him. And towards the end there, I cannot remember where I went. When they told me I was there, I could not find my own way, so I knelt and said a prayer. I wonder if there was something learned about so much. I wonder if there was something I cared about so much, knowing I felt nothing when you reached for me to touch. And then that last line, to those I pushed away, I was blind and I'm sorry. And just that line makes me want to cry. Addiction is a disease, and I have a hard time, too, dealing with, say, an alcoholic or whatever, because it just, you know, it's frustrating, but in the end, it's not something that, you know, when you're a little child, I want to grow up and be an alcoholic, or I want to grow up and be an addict, so it's not something that you set out to be. And it's like it gets a hold of you and it becomes more important than anything and anyone in your life. And it's not until you realize that you can do something about it. And I agree with what Kay said. Once you get past that hump and you have a fistful of people or even one that forgives you and loves you despite of it, you hold on to them. So like some really powerful poems tonight. And if you look, this is on 1, 2, 3, 4, this is on like 5 lists, and it's got several medals. So it's a really powerful write. And the picture, the sounds of nothing there, and then there's these hands, open hands, empty open hands. It's like, my oh my. Marshmallow poet strikes again.
Oh, I thought of that too, marshmallow poet. Amazing comment, Deb. And yeah, that was the last poem, so thank you, Hatter, for bringing that. And thank you, everyone, for making such an amazing show. I know we have shows coming up. I'm first going to ask Kay. I know tomorrow is with Sky, or technically today or tomorrow, however, Saturday. Let's go with that. Saturday. You want to tell us, Kay, what shows are coming up on Poetic Play?
Well, yeah. It's later today, Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Sky is doing storyboards, starting the round of Lord of the Rings. So it's going to be an ongoing series for a bit. and Monday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern for the Mortuary Shadows. We're having a bit of fun. I have the topic folder up. There's a lot of cool quotes, dark humor. So, yeah, look at that. Twist it up. Bring the humor. Bring the silly. Bring the anger. Bring it.
Bring the sarcasm. Bring it all.
Cool.
I know, that does sound interesting. All right, and I know also for Saturday, it's Hatterday Saturday, and the topic is lightning, I believe. Isn't that right, Deb? Lightning?
Sure is.
Okay, yeah, and that is 11 Eastern, I believe.
Yeah.
I looked at the topic.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So Saturday at 11 Eastern, it's going to be, the topic is lightning with Hatterday Saturday. And, of course, Monday we know is pitcher prompt for Deb, the best time of the week. yeah. I mean, we always know that you're going to come up. Like, Deb, you have been coming up with some, like, amazing pictures and everything like that, like picture prompt. Everybody always wants to do that show. I notice it all the time. Like it's definitely, I'd say, a big show for a team of voices. Anyway, that, like I said, there's Poetic Slice of Life shows to look forward to, and here at a team of voices. And yeah, Frank, do you have a show at the cafe or anything? Or
Yes,
no?
Tomorrow,
okay.
At 2 o'clock Central, 3 o'clock Eastern,
okay.
If we don't have any issues with blog, of course. Thank you.
All right. Well, there's also that one, too. Check it out at the International Cafe. But, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and end the show here. And like I said, I'd love hearing everybody tonight and actually getting to talk on a show and listen to you guys and hang out with you guys, because I feel like it's been ages. Oh, I can't stand it. I'm not going to make any promises.
Crystal.
Oh, I know.
Really,
I said that
you did an amazing job.
I know, it's something you could feel. You could feel that power in the air too. I still feel it a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
all right, my friend. Take care, my friend.
Don't forget to listen to that song.
No, Deb. Deb, do me a favor, will you? Will you send me the piece?
Yes.
All right, thank you. I'll see you all. Take care, my friend.
Good night, everyone.
Buenas noches.
Night, Crystal. Night, Kay.
Good night.
Good night,
Frank.
Good night.
Take care.
Love and respect.